And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Get the popcorn ready.
It's game time, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
a team that is known as Stoppers.
Stoppers.
The Athletic presents Hogan Johns.
Every single play, go take it. Bring that juice. Let's go get it. Come on.
Chicago's best Bears coverage.
Go Bears.
Go Bears.
From NBC Sports Chicago. It's Adam Hogue.
I do think he has the support of his teammates. Why would you not be rooting for him to succeed?
And from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
I don't mean to psychoanalyze this stuff, but this is what we do in Chicago. This is what we do with our quarterbacks, and this is the biggest story in town.
Here they are, the Adams, Hogan Johns.
What's up? Welcome in. Hogue and Johns with you. Our annual schedule release episode, Johnsy. Get excited.
It's late. I like that you kept your wardrobe on from television.
Yes, yes. So right off the TV show, we had a special on NBC Sports Chicago tonight with Olin Krutz and Alex Brown and Dave Wanstead. It was a good show. But yes, I hustled home and I really, unless you wanted me to change in the car, Johns, could not have changed. I walked straight out of the garage into my office and we're doing this podcast.
The best part about this is if you're watching this on YouTube, you now know that Adam Hogue wears his makeup home.
Yeah.
It's on there. I know. I've had it sprayed on me before, but you're wearing it.
This is my own appearances with you.
It's your own work.
This is my own deal. It would be much better if it was done by the wonderful makeup artists at NBC Sports Chicago. But this is not, and you're right. I forgot to wipe it off before I left. But also because Ozzie Guillen and Frank Thomas were in the green room, and that's where the wipes were, and they're freaking out about Andrew Vaughn hitting a home run because I think Ozzie predicted it, and it was just chaos in there. And I already had to deal with Olin for an hour. You know, it just... Enough name dropping, but I had to get out of there. There was too much.
See, one would think like in Ozzie Guillen, Frank Thomas, Olin Krutz, like that would be tough to wear makeup around. But here's the secret of television, everybody. They're all wearing it. Yes. They're all wearing it. The good old days of Sports Talk Live, we would have it plastered all over our faces.
Mm-hmm.
That's not kind in terms of, like, there's an artwork to it, but yes, yeah.
If you are watching on YouTube, you can compare this to like our last episode as we get the zoom
Mike, inflection.
Yeah.
Fresh from the baseball fields to your...
Look at this. This is ridiculous. Meanwhile, those of you listening in your cars on the podcast apps, you have no idea what we're talking about. Just imagine a pretty face. How about that?
You say so.
And I'm just talking about Johns. That's all. All right, enough about that nonsense. And there was a schedule that came out today. As it's fun because we've known the opponents since the season ended, but now we get the order and where they're all playing. And we all make predictions, which is what we do on this podcast. And it's ridiculous, but it's fun, and we're going to do it. I like to know we both like to know which Marriotts we're booking and...
And that's really the most important thing about this, right? Everybody gets their travel in order. I got people texting me about Vegas, people texting me about LA.
Yeah.
Green Bay. A lot of Bears fans going up to Green Bay this year. Yeah, maybe there's a regime change we should be watching.
I know,
but the late season hope of Justin Fields possibly against Blake Bortles is...
I had to get
a Blake Bortles reference in there. I can't believe they signed him today.
Yeah.
How do you want to break this down?
They needed somebody to throw incompletions at a Packers camp. So there you go. All right. Well, if you are watching on YouTube, you can follow along with us as we have the schedule up for you. But those of you just listening, it doesn't really matter. We'll walk you through the whole schedule. We'll make our predictions. We'll talk about when Justin Fields might play and talk about the first 17-game schedule that we've ever had to break down. It's kind of fun. And there are some quirks to the schedule. So we'll get through it. Follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hoge, at Adam Johns. We both have... Whoa, by the way, we totally buried the lead. I mean, Johns, you got a story up on The Athletic that like Ian Rappaport's doing full segments on the NFL Network about.
Oh, thanks, man.
I mean, plug your shit here.
Yeah, check it out if you haven't. Kind of got an exclusive behind-the-scenes look at the Bears' draft room and how their pick went down and really their process. So if you haven't checked it out yet, it's up there. It's got a Justin Fields right in the middle of the headline. So yeah, talked to Brian Pace for a bit and he gave me a look at their how things went down, not only on draft day, but how they some of their grades, how they charter their board and all that stuff. So check it out if you haven't yet. Thanks, man.
All right, well, that includes me, because full disclosure, I've been going straight since 7 a.m. today, and I have not read the thing yet, but I can't wait to, because it looks awesome.
All good. All
so
good.
I know it's really well done, and I will read it before I go to bed, but first, we got to get through the schedule. And for less important things, like meaningless predictions, you can go to NBCSportsChicago.com and get that from me. But the important stuff is from Johns on The Athletic. Seriously, it's kind of access... we don't always get, so good job by you, and it's definitely worth reading. So don't miss that on The Athletic. TheAthletic.com/HoganJohns is where you go to subscribe to read that story if you aren't already a subscriber. And we appreciate all of you who are subscribers of our YouTube channel here, which is free. And subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to it. Please tell your friends. And let's dive right into this thing. So Sunday, September 12th, right off the bat, Bears go to Los Angeles for the third year in a row. And for the fourth year in a row, this little mini rivalry that's developing, kind of an old school rivalry that's maybe getting rekindled since the Rams are back in LA. 7:20. It's the fourth straight year. It's a primetime game. This is a Sunday night game on NBC. What do you think?
This is where we're supposed to say that Jared Goff is going to have a miserable night against the Bears defense as he's had in the past. Although, was it last year he was better?
They've won the last two in this game.
Yeah, yeah. But Matthew Stafford is there now. Mm-hmm. And Matt Nagy's Bears have been pretty good against Matthew Stafford. I don't know.
But have they been good against Matthew Stafford, or has Mitch Trubisky owned Matt Patricia?
Yeah, there you go.
You know what I mean? Like,
but Mitch is no longer here. It's different. Yeah.
Stafford did a pretty good job leading the Lions in the second half of that game at Soldier Field, which we should not talk about. Remember the 10-point lead they blew late?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Of course, he did throw a pick to Bilal Nichols in that game, if I remember correctly.
He did. He did. How can you like this opener for the Bears? Let's just be honest.
Yeah, I don't. I don't. I don't like how those two games in L.A. have gone the last 2 years. I think the Bears will still be working out some kinks defensively. Maybe we'll sprinkle in a little of what we heard from coaches today, because we did get a chance to talk to a lot of pretty much the whole coaching staff today over Zoom. I liked what Sean Desai said about what he wants the defense to look like, but there's still a lot of coaching turnover, and I wonder what it will all look like right away when you have a Matthew Stafford who's so used to playing the Bears. And it's gonna be Andy Dalton, right? Or is it? Do you really want to throw Justin Fields out there against this Rams defense? Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, they were awesome last year.
Yeah, well, that's really the whole conversation about the whole season is when do you insert Justin Fields? Mm-hmm. Right now, at 10:07 p.m. in Chicago on May 12th, I think it's Andy Dalton versus Matthew Stafford, which means you should pick Matthew Stafford. I think there's just too many things up in the air for the Bears on both sides of the ball in this one.
Yeah. I'm picking the Rams.
Me too.
So 0-1 start. It will be nice to see Bears fans at SoFi Stadium. It'll be fans in general. I mean, we didn't go last year. This was an empty stadium game. This is the open up the reopening of SoFi Stadium, and you know Bears fans will be in LA. They live there. A lot of our podcast listeners are listening to this right now from Southern California, and they're saying, "Well, I'm going to be there." Like Kyle Higgins, right? Money, he'll be there. Although he keeps tweeting at us from O'Hare. Does he live at O'Hare now?
Apparently,
he keeps saying like I'm at O'Hare. You don't have. He's like the guy. Remember the pandemic started? There was a guy that lived there for like 6 months and no one knew it.
Did Tom Hanks make a movie about that?
Yes, I think he did, and it was Tom Hanks. All right, week two. I call this an Andy Dalton revenge game, but he already got that last year when he was with the Cowboys. He went back to Cincinnati, played his former team, and won pretty easily. Of course, the Bengals did not have Joe Burrow in that game. So Bengals come to Soldier Field in week two. It's a noon game on Fox, September 19th. You know, the Bengals should be better, but they chose not to draft Penei Sewell, and that offensive line is still going to be a question mark. I do like the fact that Joe Burrow is going to be out there. From sort of a side note, the cool thing about this schedule to me, Johns, is there's the quarterback matchups are awesome. Like, there's a lot of cool potential matchups in here, especially if you want to play Justin Fields, by the way. Just a hint. But Joe Burrow, week two, what do you think?
It could have been like the rematch of the Ohio State Buckeyes. Let's not forget that storyline, right? Weren't they? But I don't think it's going to happen.
I did forget that storyline. That's a good storyline.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. Again, you're trying to find the right place to insert Justin Fields, and I don't think it's going to be September 19th at Soldier Field. It's going to be Andy Dalton with his second revenge game, and I would say I'm going to give it to him. This is the Bears' first victory of the season. They're just the better team. Joe Burrow might be the better quarterback by the end of the season, but week two, give me Dalton and the Bears.
Yeah, I agree. I got the Bears winning this game. I just think the Bengals may be improved. I think their offense will be more fun to watch, especially with that LSU connection with Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, but give me the Bears. So a 1-1 start. We agree on that. We go to week three. Cleveland, the Bears head to Cleveland. They'll face the Browns, and this is an interesting game. I was surprised. Warren Sharp put out his schedule rankings based on forecasted win totals instead of going off strength of schedule of last year, which is a little flawed because teams change. So he's taking the forecasted win totals. Either way, the Bears schedule's hard, by the way. But it's a little bit easier if you look at it this way. I was surprised, though, that the Browns are third easiest. Because one of the things I was thinking about was their schedule was relatively easy last year, I thought. Like, they went 6-2 at home, but really their only great win was against the Colts. And then I guess they beat the Steelers, but the Steelers were reeling by the end of the season. So I was kind of thinking, okay, the Browns are a team that probably would take a step back. The schedule's going to be tougher. At the same time, though, I think we got to give them credit. I mean, they're well-coached. The defense, they've addressed that side of the ball in the offseason. And they have a lot of weapons on offense. So I think this is a tough game for the Bears.
The Browns strike me as one of those teams that you just look at and you think, oh, they're going to regress this year. Like, it's the 2018 Bears or 2019 Bears, right? Like, you can poke holes in their success, like some of the things you just said. But I don't know if the Bears are going to be better in week three.
Yeah.
If we're just looking at this game squarely in the matchup between Andy Dalton and Baker Mayfield and the Browns who have a pretty good defense, like, give me the Browns in this one. But overall, like, talking again on May 12th, the Browns strike me as a team like among the leaders who should be considered one team that would regress this year, just for a lot of different reasons. But they beat the Bears this week.
Okay. here's just an interesting, I don't know how interesting it is, but I think it's more coincidence. Like, I don't think the Bears went out and signed Andy Dalton because they're playing the AFC North this year. But it is interesting that they have him, and he knows the division well. And he's 12-5 against the Browns in his career. Now, granted, most of those wins came against the Browns, not these Browns. You know, like the old Browns, the Browns that are the Browns.
Like the bag in that, the bag in the head Browns.
Yeah. Yeah. These are pretty good Browns. I got the Bears losing this game. So I'm sorry, did you say a loss too?
Loss too.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. 1-2 start. What, like, where's, what's the outcry? What's the, where are the calls for Justin Fields? Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how intense do you think they are at this point if this is what's playing out for the Bears in 2021?
Look, let's be honest. I think the calls might be at a 6 by the time we get to week 1. So if they're 1-2, I mean, we're starting to talk about, I mean, look, it depends on, part of it depends on how Andy Dalton looks, right? When Mike Glennon was out there early in the 2017 season, he was beyond, like, he had no choice. I remember we did that podcast at Lambeau Field, and it was like, you have to make the move, right? Like, it wasn't, we got to the point where it wasn't even really a debate. So I don't think the Bears are going to be in that situation. Like, they might be 1-2, but I don't necessarily think it's going to because of Andy Dalton. I also, much, you know, people will be questioning the offense, the play calling again, kind of all those storylines.
You know it's coming.
Yeah.
You know it's coming.
So probably both. Let's just say it's like at an 8.
Okay. Ooh, I was going to say about 6. I thought I liked your number 6 before, but okay.
Well, maybe this is a spot as the Bears head home to play the Lions in week 4. If you like the idea of starting Justin Fields at home instead of on the road, maybe I would consider this a game as a possible, if you're going to go the early part of the season, this could be an early part of the season where they maybe turn to Justin Fields. Meanwhile, Matt Nagy's 5-1 against the Lions. His only loss to the Lions was that one we mentioned earlier, that 10-point lead they blew late at Soldier Field. But look, let's be honest. They're kind of rebuilding this year. They're trying to change their identity. And I just think it's sort of like that Bengals game in week 2. I just think the Bears are the better team in this game. And I have them winning.
I don't think this Jared Goff thing is going to go very well in Detroit. Do you? I think it's going to go really bad. This is a team with a lot of problems, with a lot of holes. You're looking at a team that's possibly 3-4 wins in Detroit. I might be optimistic in that.
Yeah.
I think they're one of the worst teams in the league. It should be the Bears should win handily in this one. I'll put it that way.
Now, if they don't, and Andy Dalton's still the starter, now you're starting to talk about panic. But I think this might be where they buy some more time. Because I do think that Andy Dalton would get the win. The Bears would be 2-2. Now it's Vegas, baby. So we're into week 5, October 10th. Chicago invades Las Vegas, which you know is going to happen. It's going to be insane.
At least 60% Bears fans, at least.
Yeah, I agree. Because, by the way, the Raiders are already they're going to be sort of a, what's the word I'm looking for? Not nomadic, but I'm interested to see what kind of the support is like in Vegas. Now, Vegas has really supported the Knights in the NHL.
It's also like a good team.
The Raiders already have a fan base that's kind of based all over. They got Oakland. I mean, I think there's more Raider fans than Rams fans in LA. Certainly more than Charger fans. So you got people traveling from LA for those games.
I think the problem you're going to have with this is with everything opening up, Las Vegas, for any team traveling, is going to be a destination for the fans.
Yeah.
Any team. I don't know who's on their schedule, but a lot of these cities travel very well. And Las Vegas, already a destination. You have them on the NFL schedule now. It's going to be significant in terms of the traveling that happens for visiting fans to Las Vegas for this game, their game.
Well, I know. Well, yeah, and I know from our perspective and probably the fans' perspective too, like this is like kind of the London game this year. You know, it's like that one weekend where you're like, all right, this is the weekend you go for an extra day or two. You know, you spend the weekend there. And I mean, really, thank you to the schedule makers for overlapping it with Northwestern's bye week. I mean, that was just really well done.
You're the lucky one on this.
I mean, do you want to go into your situation or not?
Yeah, I can say it. That's fine. I'll be out of town. I'll be across the country at my best friend's wedding.
Wow. See, here's what's shocking to me about this. I'm just surprised that you have a
best friend.
Yeah, you have a best friend. That's just shocking. No, that's not what I was going to say, but it was a good point. I feel like all of your friends that I've ever met are like enormous Bears fans who listen to this podcast who would be in Vegas.
Yes. Oh, I already sent out the text message this morning being like, hey, you want to move your wedding from Boston to Las Vegas? And I think it made him feel bad. So,
oh, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm just surprised. I guess I'm surprised that this isn't a Vegas wedding.
Yeah. Well, it'd be fantastic. Yeah. I bet you there will be Bears fans having Vegas weddings.
Probably. Ooh, who on the beat would be most likely to have their wedding in Vegas that weekend? Let's not get into that conversation.
No.
I have some thoughts. All right. More importantly,
go ahead.
This sort of reminds me of the London game a couple of years ago, and then randomly they happened to be playing the Raiders here in the spot. So it's the same matchup. Do you remember how they contained Khalil Mack in that game? Like, that was a huge storyline going in it. Khalil Mack going up against his former team, and the Raiders, to their credit, did a really, really great offensive line. They have remade that offensive line this offseason. So that's something to keep in mind. But they did a really good job with a combination of different stuff they did to keep Khalil Mack sort of as a non-factor. I just don't know that I believe that Khalil Mack's going to let that happen again.
Well, yeah. I don't think Sean Desai is going to let that happen again. I think he's going to do different things with him than Chuck Pagano. And I think at this point in week 5, we'll know a little bit more about what those differences are, what that attack is for Sean Desai, and what the season holds for Khalil Mack. Because let's face it, he did not play up to his level last season. Maybe even the last two. Like, the Bears expect more. I think the NFL expects more. He at least fears more. It's a big game for Khalil Mack. And to be honest with you, I think it's a big game for the Bears early in this year. And I'm going to pick the Bears in this one.
Wow, we are just seeing this thing eye to eye.
The synergy. The collaboration is just impressive.
I should have that shirt on instead of this collared shirt I'm wearing.
And that makeup.
And makeup. That's true. There's a t-shirt. I wear makeup. So if the Bears have won back-to-back games and they're 3-2... you're probably not seeing a switch. So ultimately, I think it comes, you know, if you're winning with Andy Dalton, you're buying yourself more time. Now, it could be wrong, and maybe Justin Fields has started all 5 games at this point.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, if you're like me, an outfit, good or bad, can impact your entire day. Wearing a starchy shirt, that just doesn't feel good. You're not comfortable. It's hard to look good and feel good at the same time. But that's where Roan comes in, because men's closets were due for a radical reinvention, and Roan stepped up to the challenge. Roan's commuter collection is the most comfortable, breathable, and truly versatile set of products known to man. They have products for every occasion. We're talking about the world's most comfortable pants, dress shirts, quarter zips, polos, blazers. They look great as individual pieces. They work seamlessly together. Roan's signature 4-way stretch fabric is breathable, flexible, and works everywhere from your commute to work to even the 19th hole. It's time for unparalleled confidence without all the hassle. My favorite Roan shirt is this white dress shirt. Looks like a dress shirt, but it also looks casual at the same time. It's got anti-odor technology. They call it Gold Fusion, and it doesn't get wrinkled. It stays fresh and clean all day long.
No lingering odors or anything like that. The Commuter Collection is easy to care for while staying fresh and odor-free. The Commuter Collection can get you through any workday, straight to whatever comes next. Head to roan.com/Adam. Use promo code Adam to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to Roan. That's rhone.com/Adam. Use code Adam. It is time to find your corner office comfort.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
We seem to be seeing eye to eye. So now the Bears play the Packers at home. And it's already hard to make predictions because we don't know who the Bears quarterback's going to be. But now there's this whole thing about Aaron Rodgers. I don't know how you're feeling about the whole thing, but I just, until I see he's not on the team, I have to assume he is. And I have to assume the Packers are beating the Bears. Like, that's just, I'm done. I don't know how many years in a row I've tried to eke one win out of this for the Bears. It's just, it's stupid. Don't do that. If Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, you have to pick Green Bay.
And right now, Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. All Blake Bortles jokes aside, for all the criticism that we sent in Jordan Love in our last podcast. Was that the last podcast? The Jordan Love Must Suck podcast?
Yes.
I think there's something to that, by the way.
He must.
He must.
He has to.
But Aaron Rodgers, you know how the Packers want to slow play this, like where there's no options for Aaron Rodgers but to be a host of Jeopardy or play football. He should play football. He's better at that. So for now, on October 17th, I'm picking the Green Bay Packers to beat the Bears because Aaron Rodgers, at this point, from what we know, should still be on the roster.
That's one of your better takes, by the way. Aaron Rodgers is better at football than hosting Jeopardy. And by the way, I completely agree with it. You want to talk about overrated? He did an okay job hosting Jeopardy, but come on now. He's better.
Let's not get carried away. That's what I would say about his performance.
Yes, thank you. It was cool seeing a great quarterback host a legendary TV show. He did an okay job.
Like Peyton Manning would kill it.
Oh, I think so. Yes. Great example there. Totally, it would be a difference. Yes. All right. So we got this as a loss. Bears are 3-3 now. And by the way, this is a tough part of the schedule. A lot of the schedule is hard, but we are well into a tough part of the schedule now. Raiders, Packers, Bucks in Tampa, and like I know the Bears managed to beat the Bucks last year, but that was with Nick Foles at quarterback. Man, the Bucs were a different team by the end of the season, though. I mean, Tom Brady's not forgetting how many downs there are. He's going to know that you only get 4. You don't get 5. And they're clicking. They bring everybody back. 22 starters, which is really hard to do in the NFL. So I think this is too hard of a game to win. So I got the Bucs.
Was it the storyline after that? Like, that was the game that ignited the Bucs. Tom Brady figured it out. His line figured it out. Mm-hmm. Tristan Wirfs, he figured it out after getting hip tossed by Khalil Mack. Everything just improved for the Buccaneers after that game, and everything just went sideways for the Bears after that game.
Somehow the Bears always get credit for the team that wins the Super Bowl. Like a few years ago was that they cracked the code on the Rams, and then that's how the Patriots beat the Rams in the Super Bowl. I don't know what they did to the Chiefs, I think. They passed on Patrick Mahomes. So see, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl.
it all comes back to Chicago.
Yeah,
it's going to be the Buccaneers in this one. No need for overanalyzing this.
Mm-hmm. Another better good travel game, by the way, though. Tampa's always a good place to go.
It is.
It'll be late October by then. Cool enough that the 80s in Florida will feel good.
Real good.
Yeah. So again, on the same page, and that would make the Bears 3-4 now at this point. as we go to a Halloween game. This is going to be one of those years where the Bears get to play on all the holidays and our families rejoice. A lot of sarcasm right there.
Yes.
Or maybe
yes.
They actually do rejoice. Maybe. Anyway, 49ers at home. Now, this would be a two-game losing streak. Who's playing quarterback for the 49ers? Is it Trey Lance? And if it's Trey Lance, now you got Trey Lance, Justin Fields maybe. Bears have lost two in a row. They're coming back home. Would be awfully tempting to play Justin Fields here, wouldn't it?
Very tempting. I don't know if you're going to see Trey Lance all year.
Wow.
And I got a lot of problems with that because he didn't play football last year. And you need to get him acclimated. But this is a guy who's trying to make the leap from a lower level of football. A guy who needs the time.
Quickly, by the way, I agree with you on that, but the one reason why I think you might be right, I don't know if it's all year, but maybe most of the year, at least until the point where like they have no choice, because I think they're going to be a pretty good team, and if Jimmy Garoppolo's struggling, maybe you have to make the move. But Garoppolo's contract, whatever, it's $21, $23 million or something, right? Somewhere around there. It's a lot of money, and it's not guaranteed. So the fact that they've kept him around when it's not guaranteed, you know, money talks, and that tells me that they are serious about him playing.
Yeah. Plus John Lynch, you know, Kyle Shanahan, they have like 7-year contracts, don't they? Like they could slow play this if they want.
Yep.
Like if there's one quarterback of the five taken in the first round and needs the most time, like on the bench, learning, sitting, watching, all that stuff, it's Trey Lance.
Yeah.
And I get the argument that he has to play because he didn't play in 2020. Well, but like,
you're looking at him potentially starting next year, having not played for 2 years and having never played a game above the FCS level.
That's why the preseason is going to be immensely important for him. Those games will count for him. Those games should count for him. But anyway, back to this Halloween game. Give me the Bears on this one. I don't know why. Trying to go back to my season prediction that I gave Kevin Fishbane and keep that in line. So I find both these teams to be probably both in the middle of the pack. Getting out of that middle of the pack is what the quarterback is supposed to do. And in this case, on Halloween, give me the Bears.
All right. Again, agreement.
Wow.
And by the way, we're not just doing this off the cuff here. I mean, I have my prediction. These are already up on NBCSportsChicago.com. I'm going right off that here.
Yeah. So, I'm going off the cuff. I have not seen those.
There you go. This is amazing that this is happening.
I might get at a baseball game this afternoon.
Collaboration.
Synergy.
By the way, thanks to Danny Parkins for leaking the entire schedule early. It made my day a lot easier. For real. Thank you.
For real, though.
Yeah, for real. All right, so now the Bears, so they get that win. So what are they, 4-4? 8 games into the season. 4-4. You can live with it, I guess. Monday Night Football in Pittsburgh. Now, this was a game that I kind of had circled as potentially a sneaky win. I don't know what it is about the Steelers. It kind of seems like they felt like they had to bring Ben Roethlisberger back, but he sure seems like he's declining a little bit. The end of last season was rough. That's a team maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe I'll be completely wrong because I do think they're talented. They're certainly good enough to be good. Like, legitimately good. I just wonder if that's a team that ends up falling off this year a little bit, unexpectedly. Then I saw his games on Monday Night Football. I'm like, it's a little bit different. I mean, Heinz Field, fans are back in the stands, changes the dynamic a little bit. And then I looked up Andy Dalton's career numbers against the Steelers, or at least his record. He's 3-13. That's a full season. Well, it used to be a full season. 3-13 against the Steelers in his career. So, In my season prediction column I put out today, Johns, I said, and this is just totally, just sort of bold, I think that maybe around halftime of this game, with Andy Dalton struggling, the Bears pull the trigger and put Justin Fields in. Thinking that their hope was to do it after the bye week, but they're in a close game, Dalton's struggling. They feel like they have a chance to win. Fields is so close. Anyway, put him out there.
I'm going to pick the Steelers in this one, and I want to get to the second part of this conversation. So real quick, are you picking the Steelers in this one as well, I take it?
Yes.
Okay. So now we have the Justin Fields conversation. You have the bye week. You put him in Pittsburgh. I think this is going to be circled by the Bears just because it's a break. It's a time for everybody to reset everything. It's a time for Justin Fields to step away a little bit. But returning against the Ravens, who should be a pretty darn good team.
Yeah, that's tough.
Super Bowl contender. Not only that, then having the short, condensed week and playing on national television in Detroit, which is never an easy game. Never an easy game. I think that the Lions are going to be garbage, but it's still not going to be an easy game. Short week, rookie quarterback, national television, huge game for Detroit always. This is very interesting because that's quite the trial by fire to throw your rookie quarterback into. It really is. It's not ideal. It's not a soft landing spot. It's a soft starting spot for Fields to take over. It's just not.
There really isn't a soft landing spot, though. And that's why I brought up that Lions game earlier in the season. You know, you're at home. Maybe you're coming off a couple losses where the pressure's mounting. I don't know where else the soft spot is unless you wait till after the Thanksgiving game.
I would say maybe Halloween against the 49ers.
Against the 49ers. Yeah. And that's not easy because I think the 49ers are going to be good. I think they're going to be much improved. It's a tough schedule. All right, so
I think what I'm going to do right now, though.
You know what? I have to correct myself. I have the Bears winning this game.
Ooh, in Pittsburgh?
Against the Steelers. With Justin, under that premise.
Of Justin Fields having a comeback.
Real-time switches going off my head here because I kept going back and forth on this game. This and the Browns game were the two I think that were the toughest for me to pick in May. With the 100% accurate predictions that we are making here.
Yes.
So I said Dalton gets benched, Justin Fields comes in, comeback victory, chaos in the streets of Chicago. I mean, everybody's just going nuts back home, and the Bears get the win for our first disagreement.
So you got them at 5-4,
mm-hmm.
And I got them at 4-5. Okay.
Which makes it two very different bye weeks, by the way.
For it does.
Like you're either 2 weeks of doom and gloom, you have to make the change, or in my scenario where Fields comes in and wins the game, you're talking about 2 weeks of a championship parade.
So for my analysis going forward now, Justin Fields is the starter.
At the bye. Okay.
I think it may happen earlier against San Francisco. So give me a little give and take here, but
by the way, I'm not ruling out week one still.
Yeah, I can see that. But right now, what are we on now?
We are in week 10 bye week, and then week 11 against the Ravens.
So week 11 against the Ravens, Justin Fields versus Lamar Jackson. Going Ravens.
By the way, great game. If it's really Justin Fields versus Lamar Jackson. That'll be fun. In my scenario, it's 2 weeks of hype. Everybody's loving life. And then you get a reality check. Because, yeah, it's the Ravens. I think they're good. I mean, I thought that I maybe overrated them a little bit last year. But they were still really good. And
they were damn exciting last year, man.
They've gotten Jackson some help now. They drafted Rashad Bateman, who I like a lot. So their defense is good. Actually, in this scenario we're painting, I could see this game getting flexed to Sunday night even. I don't know what the rest of the schedule that week looks like, but if you're talking about Justin Fields versus Lamar Jackson.
Now, can they flex the game before the early Thanksgiving game? Is that allowable?
We dealt with this a couple years ago.
Yeah, we covered something like that. And the Bears won both
games. I think it was Bears-Vikings got flexed to Sunday night. And they won the games. Yeah, that was the whole storyline. They played two games in the shortest amount of time. I think two games have ever been played. and they won them both. The second one, though, wasn't that Chase Daniel on Thanksgiving? I think.
Where he ran out of the tunnel early.
Something like that. I don't know. I think that's what it was. Yep. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to roll with that. Yeah, it was 2018.
Great year.
Yeah. That one good year. Anyway, so yeah, maybe it's not flexed if they are playing Thursday on Thanksgiving. Anyway, we both have it as a loss. Going into Detroit now. Thanksgiving Day. Steak and Shake on the way home.
Yes. You, me, Kevin Fishbane, and Jeff Dickerson. This is a win for the Chicago Bears and Justin Fields. Not an easy game. You heard me say that before. But I think the garbage-ness of the Detroit Lions will just win out in this one. Like, how many times have I called them hot garbage on this podcast? This year, they may truly be that.
They might.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, you know, they were close to that last year. So, give me Justin Fields in Detroit. Bears win.
So, first of all, I hope that piqued our listeners' interest. You got, I don't know if they remember this, but they got the podcast on the way home last, or so this was 2 years ago on Thanksgiving, but we were in the car in Ken Fishbane's car, and JD was piping in from the front seat as we recorded in the back seat. That was the post game podcast. Good times, good memories.
That was a fun one.
It was. I think JD was just firing off all kinds of shots. That was the Trubisky was awesome in that game.
He was.
Owning Matt Patricia again. Yeah.
I believe 2 days later, Ryan Pace was in Ann Arbor to see Justin Fields, by the way.
Oh, did he even go home?
I don't know.
Just spent the whole weekend in Detroit. Because the one day of Thanksgiving is not enough in Detroit.
No.
That weekend. Here's a surprise. I have the Lions winning.
Wow.
And my thinking is this. The Lions have lost four straight games on Thanksgiving. That matters a lot to the Ford family. They were embarrassed last year, remember? By the Texans, I think, right? It was bad. And as much as... So I think the Lions are going to be a team where I don't think they're going to win a ton. But I do think they are going to have some success turning the culture a little bit.
Honestly, can I just inject myself? It can't get any worse than it was under Matt Patricia.
Exactly. And as much as I still question like this Dan Campbell thing and the kneecaps and the breaking of all that kind of stuff, they did put together a pretty good coaching staff around him.
They did.
And I like what they did in the front office. And so I do think there is going to be like a subtle sort of
transition to maybe kneecap busting.
Yeah. Maybe by Thanksgiving, even though the record probably won't be great, the Lions won't be the same Lions. Or you start to see signs of that. And Thanksgiving will become a rallying cry for them. Like, this will be a game that matters. So
wow, you really put a lot of thought into the psychology of the Lions in this.
I mean, if you don't take May schedule prediction seriously, I don't know why you're in this ball game. For being honest, so I have an upset here. I think the Lions they surprised the Bears on Thanksgiving. It's a short week. Well, it's a short week for both teams, but yeah, I got the Lions. And at that point, how do you not have Justin Fields playing then? Back to back losses after the bye. Now that would be unfortunate though if Fields plays both of these games and they're both losses.
Those are the lumps the kid has to get in though.
Yep, they're gonna happen. All right, we move on. Six games left. Let's fire through these. So I have back to back losses after the bye. You have them splitting. And I think that puts us back on track to what? 5-6 both?
I'm in 5-6, yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to win.
This is against the Cardinals.
Cardinals. Arizona. Coming to town. December 5th. Could be cold. Could be a mild winter. I don't know. It'll be different for Arizona, though. They strike me as a team in the NFC that's due for a regression. I'm not quite sold on what they are. Yeah. What they're building.
I mean, honestly, that kind of started to happen at the end of last season.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely it did. They had the chance to get in, and it was their loss that allowed the backdoor entry by the Chicago Bears. So,
yeah, who was playing quarterback for the Rams again? Like John Hansen or some guy from the Hansen brothers?
The guy played awesome.
Danny Werfel.
Danny Werfel. John Wolford, right? That's
there
it.
There you go. Hanson brother.
Hanson brother. What are you talking about?
It's late.
It's late.
But thank you to the Hanson brothers for getting the Bears into the playoffs last year. Yeah, I have this as a win. I think facing the Cardinals defense is exactly what Justin Fields will need at this point. J.J. Watt, let's not forget he's on the Cardinals. He'll get his Portillo's trip in just like last year, and just like last year, the game won't go very well for him. The Bears get the win. So 6-6. 6-6 with 5 games to go. And for the 10th time in 11 years, the Bears go to Green Bay for a night game. How is that fair, by the way? Packers have hosted the Bears 10 out of 11 years at home at night. Like, I do think there is a little bit of an edge to have a night game.
Absolutely.
And on the flip side, the Bears have only hosted the Packers in that same time frame once at night. That was the season opener a couple of years ago, the big NFL 100-year kickoff.
And a big letdown by the Chicago Bears.
Now, let's be honest. It's Aaron Rodgers winning these games no matter what time the game's getting played. But I don't know. It just that doesn't seem equal at some point.
I think it sticks out to us because we're actually living it a bit. Because we're up there. Yeah, I know. But that means the players, in a sense, are living it and feeling it a bit too, right? Like
it's like at this point, you can plug in. Okay, it's like Bears-Lions are going to be on Thanksgiving now. And then the game in Green Bay is going to be a night game. And the Vikings game in Minnesota is going to be the last game of the season.
Last game of the year. It's going to be the Arctic up in Minneapolis.
They haven't played. Well, we can get to that in a second. But I don't know. Some of the scheduling, I'm not trying to be critical. It seems like some of these games have just been sort of, let's plug them in where we always do, and it solves a problem.
Yeah, how about we tweak the formula, huh?
I don't know. Just moving around. Can I go see my family in Minnesota in September? That'd be nice. It's nice in September.
Nice town. Packers win, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Six and seven.
That's good analysis. I'm fine with it. All right. And here's another trend. After that, for the fifth time in 6 seasons, so the Vikings can have the same argument against the Bears. Every time they play the Bears in Chicago, it's a night game. 5 times in 6 years now, this has been a primetime game. When the Minnesota Vikings come to Chicago, it's Monday Night Football.
Kirk Cousins, prime time, man.
He finally got the monkey off his back last year, Soldier Field. Now, here's why I think it's going to be a Bears win. Could the Bears have been worse in that game? Like, that was the absolute bottom of how bad things got offensively. The offensive line was horrible. They didn't have David Montgomery in that game. Nick Foles finally just gets hurt by the end of the game. It was ridiculous. The poor guy, they could not protect him. They needed a Cordarrelle Patterson kick return just to get any points. Like, if Kirk Cousins didn't win that game, he never would ever win a game of Monday Night Football.
Don't say that about my guy.
I just said it, and I mean it. Like, anybody, the Hanson brothers could have won that game. Like the actual Hanson brother.
I feel like part of the build up to this one, speaking of my guy Kirk Cousins, is the stories after this year's draft, where the Vikings were interested in Justin Fields at 14.
Yeah.
And here they are now facing Justin Fields in, is this week 14? I don't know. 15? Oh, so close.
A part of me almost wonders if Kellen Mond is starting by now.
Ooh.
Almost. I don't know if it'll be this game, but
they guaranteed my guy a lot of money.
They did, but how many?
Fully guaranteed. That's a team that's, I don't know about you, Adam, but it's felt to me that they're teetering on a, I don't want to say collapse, but almost a major overhaul. Like they're trying to do a soft rebuild. We talked about that at length a couple times last year.
Well, I do think you have a point that if it, because they are, that's exactly where they are. I guess I tend to think that it'll start to trend in a better direction this year, but you seem to think it might go the opposite way.
Yeah, you've always been high in the Vikings. But anyway.
I like their plan. I do like how I think they're well-coached. I think Rick Spielman does a good job, and it seems like every year I like their draft. And again, even though they didn't get Justin Fields and they didn't get Rashawn Slater, their top targets, like they still, I like what they traded back. They still got Christian Darrisaw. They still got their quarterback later. There are a lot of guys down the line I still like. So
at the same time, you almost can't help but think if they feel they're limited at quarterback right now. It's like the Jimmy Garoppolo thing all over again, right? Like it's...
Well, that's the one thing I have been critical about. Like, the one thing I do not understand, why, like, everything they've done elsewhere, all the money they've invested in Kirk Cousins seems nuts. Are the really teams lining up to pay Kirk Cousins?
It's like, well, that's just it's the desperation of the position. And he's not an awful quarterback. Some games he looks like one of the best, but he does have his limitations. Anyway, my pick, Bears.
Yeah, me too. Bears. So 7-7, 3 games to go. That, I mean, this would put them in the hunt, right? In the hunt. Here is where a schedule quirk I did not notice until we did our TV show tonight on NBC Sports Chicago. And Wani, because I asked him, Dave Wanstead was on the show, and I asked him, as a coach, when you get the schedule handed to you, what's the first thing you look at? Like, what are the things that you're looking at as a coach? And a lot of it had to do with logistics and some of the things we talk about during the season, which is like, oh, it's a short week. Well, you got to play on Thursday, you know, those types of things. Well, one of the things he immediately brought up that I did not notice originally. So the Bears are coming off a Monday night game, and they have to fly to the West Coast to play the Seattle Seahawks. So short week, and you're going to the West Coast. Not ideal. In the middle of all that, it's Christmas. So
plenty of distractions.
You're traveling on Christmas. You got family stuff at home. Usually there's at least one day in there they sprinkle in where they shorten the practice. They let the players get some time at home. So it's already a short week. It's also a tough opponent. It's Seattle. Not an easy place to win. So I mean, if I had to rank, like if we did like the confidence rankings, I think I'd put my most confidence in the fact that the Bears would lose this game.
Same.
Okay.
Same.
Wait, let me rephrase that. After the two games against Aaron Rodgers, this would be the third game.
Yes. Yes. Okay. It's better.
Yeah.
It's just not an easy, like the Seahawks aren't very good. Played a good division, but I don't know if they're like a serious Super Bowl contender. I mean, Russell Wilson will be in the MVP conversation again. At the same time, I mean, what if they just completely implode? What if?
I put that in my column. I mean, the one exception to this would be, how unhappy is Russell Wilson at this point? It's late in the season. Are they having the same issues? Is he unhappy with what they're calling? Is he just ready to get out of there? If that's the case, then maybe there's a path to winning. But here's another thing is, like, part of the reason why some of this Russell Wilson stuff was so surprising in the offseason was he never misses a game. He still shows up. He still plays. And he'll probably still be out there playing.
Seahawks.
Yeah, I got Seahawks. All right, so 7-8. That makes things pretty dire. You still have the 7th playoff seed. I mean, there's an extra seed out there. Maybe there's still a chance of the playoffs, but you're at 7-8. It'll be interesting to see how the 17th game impacts all that. But you get a home game now. You get to come home, play the Giants. Probably a good spot for this game, right? I like the Bears to win. If it's Justin Fields versus Daniel Jones, I'm going to take Justin Fields.
All day.
I will point out, the Giants by the end of the season last year were not pushovers. Remember, Saquon Barkley got hurt at Soldier Field. They didn't have him. They were still coming together. I'm on record as liking the Joe Judge hire. I think they did a pretty good job. I don't think there'll be pushovers by any means in this game. But at the end of the day, Mike Glennon's their backup quarterback.
and that's it.
And Daniel Jones is their starter. So
yeah.
It kind of feels like the Jaguars game last year.
You feel limited. It's just, you're right in saying that every year there's a team that surprises you. Both ways. like I mentioned the Browns and the Cardinals as teams that I think could regress. We raised concerns about the Steelers, potential regression there. You're not sure what they're going to be.
I wonder if the Bears are a team that are going to surprise.
Yeah. Either way. But for now, again, being May 12th, the Bears.
Okay. Well, we're going to end up with the same. Well, here it all comes down to this. Week 18. First time we've ever had to say that. So we got the Bears at 8-8, which would be the third straight year that they finish 8-8, except there's an extra game. And it's in Minnesota because for the sixth time in 8 years, the Bears and Vikings end the season in Minneapolis.
What a tradition for us beat writers to go into the cold. There was 1 year, like 3 years ago. Like we've walked through inches of snow. What was it, like two years ago? Yeah. It was like minus 20?
Oh, yeah. The Super Bowl was minus 5, too. Yeah. It seems like what they're doing. Okay, so let me ask you this. In your scenario where the Vikings are kind of in a bad spot, they drafted Kellen Mond. Are they at a point then where they're like, okay, we're not making the playoffs. We might have to move on from Kirk Cousins here in the offseason. Now, he still has money guaranteed the following year too, right?
His contract is fully guaranteed, Adam.
I thought someone said there was a way to get out of it after the season, but I don't know. Anyway, are they thinking about that at all? Do they say let's put the rookie out there in week 18?
Because this season, in this scenario, this hypothetical, the season is all but lost for the Vikings. And I'm feeling
in your
that
scenario.
Actually. My scenario. Yes. So I'm picking the Bears on this one.
Okay.
So I got the Bears finishing with a 9-8 record. That was my prediction with the Fishman, Kevin Fishbane, and his watchability rankings. Check that out on The Athletic. I do think, just general thoughts on the Bears. They're as good as the Vikings, in my opinion. They're a lot better than the Lions, in my opinion. Matt Nagy's history against those two teams is still very impressive. Doesn't beat the Packers, but he can beat the Vikings and the Lions. There will be a couple teams that are surprisingly bad on their Bears schedule. And I'm not saying the Bears are going to be a great team. They'll be in the middle of the pack, and they'll keep you interested all year, especially with Justin Fields, the quarterback.
Wow, we came to an agreement here. I also have them winning this game and finishing 9-8. And again, this was not planned.
It was not planned.
My column's already been up for hours at this point. 9-8. I think that leaves them short of the playoffs. Maybe there's a, I don't know. They got in last year at 8-8. We'll see. But something just tells me Justin Fields finishes the season strong. So this will put the Bears at 4-2. Right? 1, 2, 3. 4-2 to finish the season in the last 6 weeks, with their only losses coming in Green Bay and in Seattle. Two tough games. Two games that they're going to be definite underdogs in, right? I think you're feeling okay. Depending on how Justin's playing, but in this scenario, I'm saying Justin's finishing the season strong. And you get back-to-back wins. I think I don't think we're anticipating then a end-of-season press conference 48 hours later where everyone's speculating if people are getting fired. That's not the situation anymore.
This has to be like a one-win season for that to happen, in my opinion. The most realistic lens I would offer is you have to know Justin Fields. Like history says he's going to see the field at some point. History says he's going to struggle, maybe immensely in some of these games, but at the same time, he's going to give you reasons to be optimistic. He's going to give you reasons to have that hope still. I think he should still be excited. It's really it. To me, when I look at the schedule, it's finding that entry point, that soft starting point for Justin Fields. I don't know where it exists.
Yeah, it's tough to find that spot.
In my opinion, I do think it's that Halloween game against the 49ers. And they are not going to be an easy opponent, at least right now, thinking of them. So things change, but at one point this season, Justin Fields will play.
What did Fishbane have the Bears at?
8-1. What a cop out.
Oh my God. He just went for a bit. Which was the tie?
I don't know, actually.
All right. Well, check it out on The Athletic. I just teased myself there. I'll have to go look. Wani had the Bears winning 11 games. So 11 and 6. I will say this. If there is a if there is a scenario where Aaron Rodgers is not the quarterback for the Packers, I'm flipping those to wins. And then it would be 11 and 6.
Yeah. That doesn't just change the NFC North. That changes the whole conversation about the NFC.
Yeah.
Were they not just in the NFC Championship game? Is this not a Hall of Fame quarterback?
Someone made a joke this week that the Bears should throw something in the Aaron Rodgers trade.
What, like some as a random third team?
Yeah, the random third team just like sweeten the pot for the Packers.
Yeah. Here's a fourth round pick in 2024. Yeah.
Like, even though you'd be giving the Packers something, like it's worth it to get Aaron Rodgers out.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. As long as they don't draft the next quarterback, the next Hall of Fame quarterback with that pick.
I don't think it's Jordan Love.
I mean, they're not acting like it is. Come on. If they thought, now I'm not, maybe saying he sucks is too far, but like, if they really thought they had the next Aaron Rodgers, wouldn't they be trading the actual Aaron Rodgers? They could get a boatload for him right now. Like, if they really thought he was the next Patrick Mahomes, like, here's the guy we're turning our franchise over to. He's that good. Let's get a million draft picks for Aaron Rodgers right now, and we could build the team around him.
There wouldn't be all this news about working out quarterbacks and signing Blake Bortles either.
Well, they do have to have a guy. He's the only quarterback on the roster. They got to have somebody throw the ball in practice.
I don't know. Aaron Rodgers is technically on the roster too,
but he's not going to be. He's not going to be at the practices. Yeah. He's not showing up. You know, you got to have somebody throw the ball. So I look. It's funny that they signed Blake Bortles, but I also get why they did it. So. All righty, it's fun. 9-8. Can't wait to be completely wrong about all this. Here comes Justin Fields running down the tunnel, Week One. At SoFi Stadium.
That's really it. That's any scheduled discussion starts and ends with Justin Fields and when he plays.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, good stuff. Appreciate everybody tuning in. And if you haven't already, check out our YouTube channel. You can be watching this and subscribe. Please hit the notifications. Sometimes we'll go live. You'll get those notifications. You'll know when we go live. It's a good thing to do. So check that out. Please subscribe to The Athletic. Check out Johnsy's story with Ryan Pace on the selection of Justin Fields. Some really good inside information. I can't wait to go read that myself right now. And his watchability rankings from Fishbane and my columns up at NBCSportsChicago.com. Also have a column coming on how Justin Fields fits in all this. Like where basically what that thing we've been talking about. Where in the schedule does it work to put Justin Fields in? So you can check that all out at NBCSportsChicago.com. T-shirts up at obviousshirts.com. Whew. I'm going to go take a nap, I think.
Yeah. Nap.
How's that work?
Sleep in tomorrow.
Ha.
We'll talk to you after Ricky Minigame.
Yeah, right. What's sleeping in?
6:30.
Got a baseball game tomorrow night. Don't you? You guys... You probably have a game every day.
Saturday's not coming.
Okay. Here we go on tomorrow, then Saturday. But that's not work. That's fun. All right. Good night, everyone. Good stuff.
See ya.
Y'all stay corona-free, all right? And God bless.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.